Hey, here we are once again. It's 3 p.m. It's Monday, isn't it?
Yeah,
I
I think it
think.
is. Yeah, it's
We don't even
it doesn't
remember
matter
what
anymore.
day it is.
It's the same. It's Omega Man Day with the global pandemic.
We're just worried about getting up and getting our iced tea and getting some every single time. Every single
time. There you go.
All right. So I've been really wanting to talk about this for a long time, but I wanted to be able to finish a series because, like I said, I had been like really stoked about watching season 3 of Dark, but because it had been such a long time since I had seen season 1 and 2, and since the show is, if you've seen it, like mind-bogglingly complex, so I said, well, I'm just going to watch all 3 seasons like over the course of a week or week and a half, so I'm all caught up on everything, so I'm not completely lost, because I figured I would be. So I finally finished watching it yesterday, and I have to say, I mean, okay, from a writing standpoint, this is one of the most genius things that I have that has ever been written. I mean, just in awe of like the complexity of it, and how, you know, it's hard to do like a sci-fi thing with time travel, and a lot of stuff has been done with time travel, but the way that they did it in this show, they almost kind of they grounded it in the sort of a reality type of thing. But this is one of the only things that I've seen, maybe 12 Monkeys as well, but this is one of the only sci-fi series that I've seen where time travel actually kind of makes sense, like in a real world sort of way, if that makes any sense. Because they obviously did put a lot of thought into what would happen, like what particular consequences would happen from certain time, you know, going through time displacements and things like that. So, but I will say that if you're not, because Tom didn't really watch it.
Yeah, I couldn't really get into it. It did have some, like, see some of the episodes, and it had really cool, like, scenes and shit happening, you know, in these different time zones. One of them's kind of post-apocalyptic. It was cool. It was kind of like, some of it's kind of like Stranger Things, because some of it takes place in the 80s. Some of it takes place in the future. So it's kind of like Walking Dead. A bunch of mysterious shit happens. Visual looks real good. The acting's really good. It's all in German dialogue, so you got to read subtitles.
Yeah, they have an English dub on Netflix, but I would not recommend. I don't usually like dubbing anyway. I find it too distracting.
It's a high quality series. It's just not really for me.
Well, it's one that you definitely have to,
pay attention to
every single thing.
And you have to watch each fucking
because
episode.
Because every single thing means something.
It's not really action-driven. It's story-driven, I guess.
Yeah.
And a bunch of weird shit happens. And it all intertwines across all these different time periods. So she has a hard time following it. That means I can't follow it. I'm like a monkey compared to her. I'm not going to be able to follow it.
I followed it, but there was some stuff like later on, because I've only watched season 3 one time, but I watched season 1 and 2 like 2 times. There was a lot of stuff that I picked up on the second time through that didn't like get in the way of my enjoyment. Like I wasn't totally lost or anything like that, but it just made me appreciate how much detail, like how much thought went into this. Because there was like all these little things in there that related back to things that I was just like, oh shit, I just like totally forgot about that. So it was more like picking up like all these extra things, like as opposed, because honestly, if you're paying attention, the one thing that you mainly have to pay attention to, and this is why the Wikipedia page has like a big, huge family tree of all these, the 4 main families in the town of Vinden where it takes place, is that you have to remember how all the characters are related to one another. And because it takes place in several different 33-year periods, there's 1986, there's 2019, there's 2052, there's 1954, there's 1888, I think there's some like back 1921. So you have to remember too what each iteration of the characters look like at their different ages, and who their parents are, who their grandparents are, like, so you have to like remember all of that like while you're watching it, like for maximum impact. Which, like I said, that's why, you know, the Wikipedia page, the Dark official page, they have like all these really complicated family timelines, because you have to like follow all that to know
and
what the hell is going on with the time loop.
It's not a time travel movie like, say, Back to the Future or what's another time travel movie? Like, this is a time travel movie that's kind of like what's it, 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, this is
it's that type of
that's
time
probably the
movie.
Most similar thing that I right. would. I mean, even though it's not in a lot of ways, it's not like 12 Monkeys, but yeah. it does have a similar.
Yeah, it's not like Doctor Who where they're jumping around through.
No.
It's not like that. It's more like 12 Monkeys.
Well, it's based in actual theoretical physics, you know, so the stuff like I don't know if it's possible or not. I mean, it's theoretically possible for shit to happen the way that shit happens in this. One of the main things that is kind of like a brain breaking sort of thing that takes place a lot in this show is what's called the bootstrap paradox, where something. I don't know if I can explain it all that well, but it's basically where something there cause and effect become like disengaged from one another. So there can be a thing that exists. And for example, like if a dude, you know, invented a time machine, and this, it's like a book about time travel, but if a dude invented a time machine and then went back in time to give the plans to the time machine to his younger self so that he builds the time machine and you cause like this infinite loop. Yeah. So you can kind of argue that like no one, that it didn't have a creation or didn't have an origin point because it just keeps going like circling back around. So if that is kind of like the main point of this show, because, you know, the whole point is that there are, you know, there's one world, you think it's just one. So like I said, this is going to be a lot of spoilers. So if you haven't like gone to season three or you don't like know anything about what happened in season three, because it was kind of like a big thing, like it went off in a crazy other direction, then I'm going to spoil it. So, you know, if you don't want to know what happens, then you might want to like duck out now. But what you think is happening through the whole, like, mostly second season, the first season, there is time travel in it, but it's mostly set up like almost like a crime procedural, like with all these little kids going missing and like kids turning up dead in this town and everything. And you're not really sure why. But then slowly you find out like about all the time travel shenanigans that are going on. Now, in the second one, they pretty much explain that all of these things that are happening are basically, you don't know how many times that all of these actions have looped through, but apparently there are two essential groups, one of whom led by Adam, who is grown up Jonas, and he's all like deformed and stuff, and he heads Sic Mundus, you know, the group that like the time traveling group. His kind of thing is he wants to cause the apocalypse so he can kill the origin. Now, he thinks that the origin is the child of Jonas from the world that we know in season one and two. And if you didn't know, season three, like I said, it's you know, it's complicated enough that the show had like people being their, you know, their daughters or their moms. And like, you know, everyone's like related to like a kid goes back in time and like fathers a kid and they exist in the same time period and all this other stuff. So they had all that complicated shit going on. But then when season three started, they were basically like, hey, hold my Hefeweizen, because now there's alternate realities also. So what you don't know is that you thought in the first time it was just this one loop, but actually it's two. There are two worlds and they are connected. And there's like a switch point. So they use like this infinite loop type of thing. The other world, Vinden B, is what they usually call it, like on the Wikipedia page and stuff, is kind of similar to Vinden A, like in the sense that most of the characters are still there, but Jonas does not exist because Mikkel never went back in time and became his father in that particular world. So everything's like a little bit different.
I was listening to like a physicist talk about, you know, time, space, time, and everything. And somebody asked him a question about those loops. Could you go back in time and give yourself, you know, a book, and where did it go? He said that only seems strange to us from a certain point of view, that the universe wouldn't give a shit. The universe wouldn't give a shit where that came from. It would allow it.
Well, that's
there's
kind
nothing
of
to prevent that.
Yeah. That's kind of what's happening with this show, because this happens with multiple things. Yeah. I mean, the book by H.G. Tannhaus, which is called A Journey Through Time, they never show him, because the character is in there, but they never show him writing that book. And he only knows how to build the time machine because Claudia came from the future, the post-apocalyptic future, and came all the way back with the plans. Where did she get the plans? We don't really know.
There's another, that same guy, and I forgot his name, he said that you could go back in time and kill yourself too. And kill you, that the universe wouldn't notice. Your mass would be there in that new time and space. it didn't have to have an origin because it's there now.
Yeah.
Like you came out of nowhere.
What they did with this.
Said it doesn't have to be linear.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what the first two seasons of this show were kind of like setting up, you know, this infinite loop where it was possible for someone, like, for example, in the first season, you find out that, you know, this kid goes missing. Eric Obendorf was the first one that goes missing. That's kind of the first main, you know, thing of the series. And then, so like all the other high school students go down to, you know, the Vinden Caves, where to get the kid's drug stash, because he was kind of like the school drug dealer. Because they were like, hey, we know where he keeps his drugs, so let's go down there. That results in Mikkel, who was the younger brother of Magnus and Marta. And that leads to him disappearing into the caves, going back to 1986 and fathering Jonas, who was in high school in 2019, even though 2019 Jonas and Mikkel were in the same reality at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Mikkel had to travel back in time to be his father. So when Jonas finds out about the time travel and finds out about the caves and that there's like essentially a wormhole like in the caves, he decides he's going to go back to 1986 and bring Mikkel back because, you know, his parents, Katarina and Ulrich, are very upset, as they would be. But then an older version of himself, which is called Stranger Jonas, comes and tells him, hey, you can't take Mikkel back to his own time because then you will not exist because he is your father. So he has to stay back here in 1986 and be raised and become your dad.
Yeah, I don't know if that would really happen, though.
Yeah, but they're just saying, well, it ends up like, you know, whether it would really happen or not, like I said, and I'm going to spoil season three, but once they go into, you know, an alternate world and there are two loops, these two loops keep repeating themselves over and over. Like, cause some of the characters like Adam and Claudia, they know that this has happened like a whole bunch of times. So they're trying to, you know, essentially break the loop, but like in different ways. Well, Eva, who is Marta grown up, like in the other world, cause she's like the Vinden B, you know, counterpart of Adam in Vinden A, she actually wants to keep the loop going forever, because if she keeps the loop going forever, then her son, the unknown, will live forever. Whereas Adam is trying to bring about the apocalypse in both worlds, like, you know, wiping everyone off the face of the earth, because he thinks he needs that power to destroy Marta's child, the unknown, who what he thinks will break the link between them. So he's trying to like end everything. She's trying to keep it all going. So there are two like opposing forces. And, you know, in the first two seasons, basically it's these two and they're kind of like soldiers or like the people that they're manipulating, either by sending other people back into the future, like future versions of themselves, like, hey, you need to do this, that, and the other thing, just to get everything in line for the way things are supposed to happen, depending on what their, you know, what their goal is.
Yeah.
But then when season three, like, starts to come to a close, because Adam actually does succeed in killing at least one version of Marta, because he causes the apocalypse in both the loop worlds, and it kills her, and then he expects that that's going to wipe him from existence, but it doesn't. And he's like confused about that, because he's like, well, I thought I was bringing both worlds to an end. I was breaking the knot. And then Claudia comes to him, and Claudia, who was the woman that ran the nuclear power plant in 1986 and then like subsequently went on and like she kept going back in time and like looping around. What she did evidently was that she kept going through the cycle again and again and changing it like a tiny bit each time. So eventually she could get like out of it and like figure out what was going on. And what she figured out was that even though you think for the whole show that there's just these two worlds that are like knotted and they can't, and all the characters in them can't, you know, break out of them, like that no matter what they do, it will always, like the outcome will always be the same. So they're like trapped in like a deterministic universe.
They're asking what this is about. This is about a television series called Dark.
Yeah.
All right. It's about time travel.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
And it's like, yeah, it's
German.
If you haven't seen it, it's like what I'm talking about is going to sound like the rantings of a crazy person.
Yeah.
But because I mean, like I said, if you go to the fucking Netflix,
it's kind of like 12 Monkeys on steroids.
Yeah, big time. I mean, this is like I said, it's hard to follow just because it's theoretical physics and that's kind of hard for everybody to follow. But I didn't find it all that difficult. As long as you paid attention to like how everyone was related to one another, I think that was kind of the main thing. But yeah, so you find out that in season three, the reason why Adam wasn't destroyed by killing what he thought was the Origin was that the baby wasn't the Origin. I mean, the whole reason he thought it was the Origin was because it was the child of Jonas from Vinden A and Marta from Vinden B. So he thought, well, those two, them getting together, paradoxically, were like the parents of everybody else in the loop because of all the time travel shenanigans going on.
Yeah.
So he thought by destroying that, he was going to destroy both worlds at the same time. So he didn't die, but then Claudia comes out and she says, well, actually, there's a third world, the Origin world, which is funny because this is one of those cool things. And this is what I'm saying, like why this was like written so well, is because through the whole show, from the very beginning of the show, one of the main symbols was the Triquetra, that, you know, that thing that looked like that, like a diamond, like three different things. And everything was done in threes. Everything was in 33-year cycles because that's when all the planets lined up and all this other stuff. And when everybody jumped through time, you did it like in 33-year. And that's how long all the cycles were. So I'm surprised that, well, I didn't know. I don't know if anybody predicted it or not, like before season three came out. But they, you know, them saying that there's actually a third world that was outside. And the two worlds that were caught in the loop, the ones that we watched in the first and second season, they were actually offshoots of an origin world and were not even really supposed to exist. Whether they were completely deterministic and whether the people inside of them could change anything, that seemed kind of unclear because it seemed like whatever they did, it always ended up with the same outcome. Like they both got blown up in an apocalypse. Both the worlds did. And it seemed like no matter what they did, that was what was going to happen. Like it was inevitable. But it did come to pass that what the origin actually was the invention of time travel itself in the origin world, which was done by H.G. Tannhaus. And the reason that he ended up developing the time machine was that his son and his daughter-in-law and his baby granddaughter were killed in a car accident in the 70s. And he took the next, like, however many years it was, I think it was from 1974 to 1986 or whatever, and he took the next, like, building a time machine, and he succeeded. However, that time machine, when he turned it on, it caused a rift, and it broke this world into two, like, it split, so it made, like, these two bubble worlds, essentially, that were knotted together, and so there were all these, like, people within them. I mean, the whole point of like these two like looping things, like I said, it was deterministic and it was just like all this misery, like it was just looping misery on misery and no one could do anything to change it. Like all these children dying and like all these people, like all these terrible things happening and no one could stop it, even though that was kind of the, you know, the main point of like all the characters show that once they figured out like the time travel thing, they were, you know, they kept trying to stop it and they kept failing. But the reason why they kept failing was because those two worlds weren't supposed to exist at all. Like they were almost kind of like, I don't want to say they were like dream worlds, but they were just like these worlds that came about just because he fucked up this time machine because he was trying to bring his family back from the dead. And he ended up causing these two intertwined worlds of like endless suffering whose inhabitants couldn't get out of the loop. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To answer your questions, you can follow it. It's just you have to watch every goddamn episode and you have to pay close attention.
I would recommend watching it through and then like giving it don't watch it all through like in a short time period because your brain will fry. But, you know, but you do have to like watch it kind of close together because otherwise you'll forget everything because there's so many details and everything feeds back into everything. Like pretty much everything means something. And you definitely need to watch it through a few times. You know what I mean? But if you keep track of everyone's relationships to one another, that's kind of the main thing. So you have to remember like whose parents everybody is, everything like that. And then you'll be okay. And you know, who, you know, went back in time at what point and all this other kind of shit, because it is, I will admit, I mean, it's very complex. It's a very complex story.
If you like linear storytelling, forget about it.
No. Yeah. There's no way.
And I'm big into like linear type story.
I mean, in real time. Yeah, this is like I said, it's a lot to keep track of. Like, it's a lot to kind of hold in your brain at once. Which, like I said, I'm glad I watched the first two seasons like twice, because, you know, I picked up on a lot more stuff, and you know, because some of the relationships I had forgotten, like especially like some of the maybe minor characters and stuff, and then later I was just like, oh, you know what I mean. So it's like a lot richer experience. But yeah, if you think that you're not going to be able to, you know, keep track of everybody and like where everybody's at, like at what year, they're pretty good at like saying, you can tell like what year the shit is from the clothes, from the actors.
Yeah.
One thing I have to, you know, speaking of the actors, shout out to the casting director or directors of this show, because holy shit, they did. Because like these characters, you see usually most of the characters, you see like at least three versions of them, like a kid version, a middle-aged version, and an old person version. And I love that they didn't do like, oh, let's take the middle-aged actor and like put old person makeup on. They didn't do that. They found three actors that looked creepily alike. So much so that when you saw like the older version or the kid version of like a character, you immediately knew who that was. Like even before anybody said their name. Some of them like better than others, but pretty much everybody, when you saw their counterpart, like in another time period, like the older version of them or the younger version of them, it wasn't confusing because you immediately like knew who it was. They did like, you know, they would have a character go, hey, you know, whatever your name is, just in case you didn't get it. But most of the time you didn't really need that because all the actors looked so much alike. Now, one thing that they did do, I don't know if they did this for a lot of the cases, but there was a case where the guy that plays Peter Doppler in 2019, his teenage version that you see in 1987, that is that guy's actual son, that actor's actual son. So they did actually use a father-son team there. Also, the unknown, you know, the guy that goes around with him and his old version and his young version, and they go around basically assassinating people that need to get assassinated. Marta's kid, that is, Marta and Jonas's kid. The middle-aged version and the older version of the unknown were also father and son. But as far as I know, all the other ones were not related, and that like blows my mind because, I mean, you know, Germany is, you know, relative to the United States, is a pretty small country, and they probably don't have as large like an actor pool like maybe as the U.S. does. And the fact that they could find at least three good actors, one of those being a child actor, that looked that much alike, so much so that you immediately knew what character that was, even though they were 33 years younger or 33 years older, was like amazing.
It goes to show that they're not corrupt. Here, Hollywood would just give people based on, you know what I mean, how much money they wanted to spread around, you know. Oh, we got to get this kid. I owe him. Oh, we got to get this. You just be shit like that.
Well, the thing about this show is you can tell and that they really, casting really couch tried. I mean, they really tried to make this as, I mean, this is easily like a labor of love. So much work went into this. So much detail went into this. They even went so far as like in the universe of the show, the apocalypse, you know, where the nuclear thing like blows up and everything, that happens on June 27th 2020.
Damn, and that's fucking hit me with some of them damn flash bulbs. Thank you very much, Matt.
I don't see it yet.
It's coming up.
Oh yeah, thank you, Matt. They even went so far as to,
because I was talking crazy, whenever I talk crazy Matt gives me money. I was talking. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. It's just, okay, good.
Yeah, so they even went so far as to make the third season premiere on Netflix on the same day as the apocalypse was supposed to happen on the show. So, like, they even did shit with, like, doing shit 33 weeks apart and, like, all. So this is, like, this is, like, some next level shit. Like, the care that went into this, the writing, just everything about it. And like, the more I think about it, because I've been like watching some other videos and like listening to other people's takes on it and everything. And like, some people that were pointing out stuff, the like little things, like little Easter egg type things that I had missed. And I was just like, this shit is like, it's fucking genius. It is one of the most genius, just the way it was put together. It's just like, everything just like ticks together like a fucking perfectly made watch. And it's just crazy how a story this sprawling with this many characters, this many time periods, this many relationships, people going back and forth in time. And like,
they did it on a computer.
It's like they must have had. Yeah. I can imagine like what the fucking spreadsheets.
It's gonna be like a damn. It's gonna be like a board game of three movies in different parallel universes, and then the progression and how it jumps across, and that's how they wrote the story.
Yeah, and I mean, like where I said,
the characters were doing in each little frame. In each way. So
you can keep
track of it.
Like there's a character in this, Charlotte, who doesn't know who her mom is. And then she finds out that her daughter, Elizabeth, is also her mom because of fucking time travel. And like I said, there's all this kind of shit going on. And it's just like, it's so fucking crazy that they kept track of all this stuff. Now I was watching one thing that I thought was like really, really cool. This is kind of apropos of nothing, but this was one thing that I didn't catch when I was watching it. But when I saw somebody else like say it on a video or something, and I was just like, oh man, that's so awesome. Okay. So in season three, and like I said, if you haven't seen season three, I'm spoiling it. So in season three, Katarina, Mikkel's mom, she goes back in time trying to find Mikkel. She has gone back and she found Ulrich too, but that's like a whole other thing. But she goes back and she goes back to 1986 when she figures out about the time travel, and she goes to bring Mikkel back to 2019 or 2020 at this point. And she goes back there and to bust Ulrich out of the mental asylum where he got put back in 1954, because he was trying to find Mikkel too, but he overshot it and went back to 1954 and then 1986. And it was just like this whole thing. And then he ended up like getting arrested because they thought he was murdering all these kids, and he ended up in the psychiatric ward. So he was still in there, except he was an old man in 1986. So Katarina goes back to 1986 and finds him in there. And it so happens that her mom back then worked at the psychiatric hospital. So she tries to get the key from her mom. They get in this big fucking struggle, and her mom ends up bashing her brains in and killing her and then throwing her in the fucking lake. Now, I didn't think of this at the time, but two things like later on, there was something that happened like before that, that, you know, this referred back to. One was the St. Christopher medal that Jonas and Marta found in the sand, like on the lake. That belonged to Katarina's mom, and it had come off during the fight in 1986. And also, Bertosz was telling Marta about, there was an urban legend or like a ghost story about a body that was at the bottom of the lake, like this woman that would like grab your legs and stuff like that. And that was talking about her mom, who had been killed in 1986 by her own mom. And that's, So it's like that kind of thing. Like that didn't even, I mean, it was kind of important to the story, but it's like, I just like that he didn't even like have to say about that like ghost story in the lake or anything like that. They were just referring to in this world where Katarina was killed back in 1986, where she wasn't supposed to be because she was in 2019. Then there was like this ghost story risen up about this body in the water, but she was in the water. That's where she ended up dead. So it's just like, I just love like little shit like that. Another thing I wanted to say too, because this is another question that a lot of people had about the end of this show, was that, so basically to end the show, like I said, the origin was time travel itself. So basically, Jonas from Vinden A and Marta from Vinden B had to go essentially outside of time. So like during the apocalypse, that was like, there was like a moment where time stopped and causality was suspended. So they had to go outside of that so that they could both enter the origin world and prevent the accident which killed Tannhaus's family and made him want to build a time machine in the first place. So, and then after that, when that happened, when they prevented the accident, then they knew that they would be sacrificing not only themselves, because, you know, these two worlds would no longer exist, but they were also sacrificing everyone else in the other two looped worlds that were only born because of time travel. So a lot of people that exist, it's funny because Netflix did like a video about like explaining everything, and they did the thing like at the end, like they had this game show voice, and he's like, here's who doesn't exist anymore, because all these people got wiped out, because a lot of the people, like an alarming number of people, were only alive in those two looped worlds because someone had time traveled. You know what I mean? So there were like whole family lines that were like wiped out. I mean, they didn't die. They just never existed because those two worlds were never supposed to exist in the first place.
In my understanding of how it would work, let's say you went back and killed your own mom to prevent your birth. All right. You could go and do it. After you killed your mom, you wouldn't vanish. You'd still be there. You would remember everything, but nobody else would. Because evidently, the universe doesn't care about where matter came from. It only cares that it exists now. So because you were existed in the time as an adult when you killed your mom, it didn't matter that you weren't born yet. Because you were there. You traveled back.
Yeah. Yeah, because you existed in the future.
You existed in the future at one
which they
time.
Went into a little bit in this
It'd
show.
It'd be
as well.
Like erasing your own tracks.
Right.
You're still standing there.
Yeah.
You go back, kill your mom, you'd erase your all your tracks. No one would remember your birth.
Yeah.
But you'd still be there in that time.
Because you had to be alive to go back.
Exactly. And now if you went back to where you came from and tried to go back into your own life, that wouldn't be there anymore. No one would know you. You would have never been born in the future. That's how it would work. But the thing is that they're pretty sure you can't go into the past. It's easy to go into the future.
Yeah. We're all doing it.
Satellites are traveling into the future all the time. The clocks have to be adjusted. If you go fast enough, you move forward in time.
Yeah.
Going through space is the same as going through time.
Yeah.
Faster you're going through space, the faster you're going forward in time. As you approach the speed of light, you're going into the future. Time for you kind of slows down relative to everybody. It's Einstein's fucking special relativity.
Yeah.
But there doesn't seem to be any way to go backwards in time. So.
Yeah, because look at all of the, like I said, just look at the complexity of the show and look at the fucking family trees of people. Like, because people would travel back in time and, you know, father people that were still, you know what I mean? Is it, and they'd be still alive. It's kind of like, what is that's like the grandfather paradox or something like that. If you go back in time and kill your granddad.
It's as if the past no longer exists.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's not, it is not a reality.
Yeah.
The universe doesn't care what happened in the past. It's vanished.
Yeah.
You can't go there.
But the thing that interested me, and a lot of people have pointed this out, was that, okay, so I really, really love the way they ended this. And it was, this is the last season. They didn't want to do any more than that because they wanted it all to be in threes. You know what I mean? Because like I said, they've kind of thought of everything. It's all themed and everything. So, you know, they ended it really good. It's like, it's a bittersweet ending because a lot of the characters that you watched for like 2.5 seasons don't exist anymore. Because, like I said, Jonas doesn't exist. Marta doesn't exist. Actually, all of the Nielsen family line doesn't exist because Ulrich never existed. Charlotte doesn't exist. Like, all these people don't exist because they were only alive because of time travel, like in the loop and everything.
Sandra says she went back in time when she went to Canada.
Yeah, see,
went to the future when she went to the Germany.
But the thing about it is that some people have been pointing out, they're like, because this show is big on paradoxes and they go a lot into like different types of paradoxes. One paradox that a lot of people have pointed out, which I guess kind of is a paradox, is that so if Jonas and Marta went outside of time, you know, sort of like during that moment and prevented the accident that kept Tannhaus from wanting to build, you know, it, to invent time travel to start with. Then, you know, so him never inventing time travel, wouldn't that negate Jonas and Marta even being there to do that? Because they were only there because time travel had been invented. You know what I'm saying? Neither one of them would have existed without time travel, you know, because they were born of, you know, the two loop worlds that busted out when he made the time machine. And so without time travel, neither one of them would exist. So the fact that they were there to essentially go outside of time, go back to the origin world and stop him from inventing time travel is in itself a paradox. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but you could argue, some people have argued that maybe there is another version of the world where they did not prevent the accident, or it's another thing too, is that maybe H.G. Tannhaus did invent the time machine. And all of this looping, however long it took, and it took that long for everything to loop through like infinite times or how many times it did it, for Jonas and Marta to get to that point so they could prevent it from happening. And that, you know, maybe that, so he ended up actually saving his family without realizing that he had saved his family, because in that origin world where they prevented the accident from happening, he didn't ever invent time travel and didn't know time travel existed, but he saved them anyway without knowing it by essentially inventing a time machine, fucking up two worlds, getting them blown up, and then everything coming back to kind of like reset itself. Like I said, it's a heavy fucking show. And it's like kind of a lot to, that's why I don't really recommend like watch. I watched it like I would watch like 3 or 4 episodes a night, and you know, I'd watch like 2 or 3 at once. But you know, it does kind of like, you really do have to like keep track of everything. But as I said, I kind of preferred like watching it, you know, all within a close time period, because you appreciate it a lot more because you pick up like a lot more of the little details.
Yeah.
And you know, cause there's just fucking so much going on in this. And I'm in a way, like I'm from a writing point of view, I was like, found this really inspiring that the writers were just that fucking clever. And like I said, I could just imagine what their fucking notes looked like. And like, it must have been like flow charts and fucking all kind of shit, like all over the wall, just to like figure out. And it's like, how did they keep all that shit straight? I just have no idea. It's just like, and it was just an amazing feat. And I mean, it was really one of the best sci-fi movies, one of the best time travel things that I've ever, it's just the amount of thought that went into it is just mind blowing to me. And, you know, the shit that it brought up, you know, it's the whole thing. It's a very deep philosophical, discussion about how, you know, one person's grief had like caused this endless loop of suffering, and all these people couldn't get out of it. And, you know, and just kind of the tragedy of that. And then interestingly too, I liked that they ended it like after, you know, Jonas and Marta prevent the accident and all of the people that were only in the two looped Vindens, you know, because of time travel, they all disintegrated as they would. And then you see the origin world and you see the handful of characters that were still actually alive in the origin world that, you know, that existed outside of time travel. So they were still there. And you saw Hannah, who was Jonas's mom in the other worlds, but obviously is not his mom in this one because he doesn't exist, because Mikkel doesn't exist, who was his dad. And she's pregnant with Peter Voller's child. And she says that, you know, she talks about this dream she had where she dreamed it was the apocalypse or everything went black, but it was okay. Like it was good. So it's almost kind of like she dreamed that all of these other characters' suffering had come to an end, which is what they wanted. They wanted out of the loop. And then she sees like the iconic yellow raincoat and they're like, hey, what are you going to name the kid? And she said, Jonas is a beautiful name. So they're trying to kind of give hope that now, obviously this isn't going to be the Jonas because the dad is different, even though the mom is the same. So we're left to wonder, you know, I don't think there could be any other version of Jonas or Marta or any of the other like disintegrated characters like Magnus or anybody like that in this other world, because a lot of the characters that birthed them or, you know, a lot of the situations that birthed them don't exist. Like, for example, in the origin world, if I don't know if you guys noticed this, but in the origin world, the nuclear power plant never got built. And because the nuclear power plant only got built because in the loop, in the, you know, infinite loop world, because the unknown went and threatened the dude to sign the building permit, because he wasn't going to give them a building permit in the 50s. So the unknown went back and like threatened to kill that guy unless he signed the building permit so the nuclear power plant could be built. But since that didn't happen in the origin world, the nuclear power plant was never built and Regina never got cancer as a result.
See, folks, this shit's too complicated for me. I can't really handle this. She's a writer. She's big into these big fucking works of art in terms of fucking storytelling. Me, I like my time travel simple. My favorite time travel story was from Star Trek Enterprise. I think it was like season 3 in A Mirror Darkly 1 and 2. Where Archer, evil Archer in the mirror universe, buys some fucking information from a bunch of gangsters that the Tholians have somehow stolen a damn Federation spaceship, the USS Defiant. It stole it from the future.
Yeah.
Which tied into the original series when Kirk went to go find out what was wrong with the Defiant. It was, and Spock is like,
I like that.
It's slipping away into this time space is unstable. It's going away, and fucking Kirk teleports over there. And
I like that Kirk.
Yeah, versions. Yeah, that's a Kirk action. And he's in that damn space suit like this, you know. And he's in between dimensions like a ghost and shit. They thought he was dead, and then the Defiant vanishes. And never in the original series do you find out what the hell happened to the Defiant. Well, they went backwards in time into the fucking mirror universe, the evil universe, fucking 200 years before the Thalians stole it. And the Thalians were these damn crystalline spiders that were so fucking alien and strange that they could figure out how to fuck with space and time. Because even the Vulcans said, no, time travel is not possible. And, you know, it went into the past. But you see, that was a different, theoretically, maybe something like that's real.
Yeah.
Because the Defiant didn't go into the past under the from the Defiant's point of view. What happened was, is that Thalians in the present opened a door to the future, and the future's more real than the past, and brought it through.
Okay.
So only from the point of view of the Defiant did it go into the past.
Yeah, I gotcha.
From the point of view of the Thalians, they went into the future and got it. See? And something like that might actually be a reality in physics.
Yeah.
Okay, because everything has to be relative. Maybe you can't go into the past. But maybe somebody from the present can pull somebody from the future into now. Which from our point of view would be a bridge to the future. Stealing something from the future.
Right. And from their point of view, they'd be going into the past. Yeah.
But they couldn't be in the future, go, I'm gonna jump into the past.
Yeah.
You can't, in other words, you have to have somebody in the past pulling you into the past.
They have to bring you there. Yeah.
That'd be some weird shit.
See, anytime because you get anything to do with time travel.
In physics and relativity and physics, it's all weird.
And like I said, we don't know how much of this is possible. Because like I said, even though on the surface, some of the shit that happens in Dark, like for example, you know, the first main thing that happens, Mikkel going through the wormhole, going back to 1986 and, you know, fathering Jonas later on, even though him and Jonas existed in the same, you know, time period, like, but obviously, like, Mikkel wasn't there anymore. He went missing, but nobody knew where he went until they figured out he went back to 1986.
Sandra's just asking me if I'm just here to look pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my job.
Oh, man, it's just fucking hilarious. He's so funny. But yeah, so, I mean, if you could, like, and like I said, the whole shit with Charlotte, like, going back, and people, like, meeting, not even just meeting, but like hanging out with, you know, the older and younger versions of themselves, like people like constantly going back in time to tell their younger self, like versus like, hey, I know some shit from the future. And like, you have to know this, that, and the other. And, like, it was just on this constant recursive loop where, you know, people kept going back in time to tell their younger self shit. And then like, so, you know, then as it got more complicated, like shit was splitting off into two different realities, like I said, because, you know, and then there was that whole switch point at the end where Martha got shot, and then either Alt Martha came and like saved Jonas, or she didn't go. She went with Bartosz and went back to 1888 or whatever it was, or 1892 or whatever it was, when Stranger Jonas was back there like trying to build the Tesla coil, like trying to build the time machine back then with all that fucking technology and not doing too well. So it's just like, that was another thing too, is that you also really have to keep track of which, because in this universe, people who go back in time, you can still, I mean, you can be there with an older version of yourself. So you have to keep track, and because at one point there was like a split, you have to keep track of like which version of who is doing what and like knows what, because if this person is like a week ahead of that person, even though they look the same, you know, this person has knowledge that this one doesn't have because this one is like from a week in the future.
Yeah.
That was the only bit that like confused me a little bit at the end, because I lost track of which Martha was which, like which one saved Jonas and brought him to the other world. And it's like, then which Jonas was it that got shot? But like, after I watched it, like kind of through again, and I was just like, okay, I got it now. But you really have to keep track. They usually do a good job of, you know, trying to keep you apprised of that either by the clothes they're wearing or like a particular scar, like at what, like Marta has like a cut on her little cheek, but then she has a cut on her eye as well. And that shows she's like from a little bit later. So you kind of keep track of who's who and like, who knows what. I did forget that when one of the Martas went back to 1888, that Stranger Jonas there didn't know who she was exactly. Like he knew about his Marta, but they were, the two universes were slightly different. So she was still Marta, but she wasn't the exact same Marta as Jonas's original world. So the fact that he didn't know that was like confusing for a second, but then I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. But yeah, this is like, this is one of those shows and it's like, there's a whole fucking...
It's overloading me. I can't take it. You see, people are going like, this ain't, you don't have anything to say about it. I can't. No, I didn't really watch it.
Yeah.
I only watched a few episodes. And I was just so fucking lost. It did look cool, but it's something, it like cool. I said, that you have to watch every single fucking episode.
You really, really have to pay attention to
it. And
you
that's
really
just,
have to pay attention.
I could do that. I could do that with certain subject matters, but not with something like fiction like this.
Yeah.
I just don't care enough.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I just think they did a really good job, like of, you know, getting you emotionally invested in the characters, getting like, and it just being this, you know, it's cool that it's like a big puzzle to figure out, but you also did like give a shit about the kids. Like I was super bummed out when I realized at the end, you know, when just, you know, those few people were sitting around the dinner table and I was just like, oh yeah, nobody else exists because they were all products of time travel, like of various kinds. Like somebody had to go back in time to father them or whatever the case was. So I was like, so all these people didn't exist anymore, which I guess what it, like I said, it made me sad, but then in another way, that's kind of what they wanted because like I said, they, you know, their suffering was endless and they kept doing the same thing over and over. I don't think a lot of the characters were aware of that, but some of them were.
So how many seasons are there?
Three.
All right.
It's three seasons.
Oh, thank you very much, Mango Badger.
Thank you, Mango Badger. Flashbulb for the future.
Yeah. The future was somehow accessed in the past. So there's three seasons.
Is it
over or are they making another
It's
season?
Over. That's over. Yeah. Okay. That's, it's completed. All and right. honestly, I think and, they did it. I mean, they, it was okay. just perfect. I love the way they ended it. I love that it's completely self-contained. I love that the first, like I said, the first season was almost kind of like a police procedural or like a crime drama, but with some sci-fi elements. Then the second one like expanded it out even more time travel. And then the third one just went whole hog with like alternate realities, time travel, time loops and all this other kind of stuff. So it like kept building onto the world and like getting bigger and bigger and more vast in scope. And I just thought that was really, really cool the way they pulled it off. And I really, really liked the way they ended it because it was like sad, but also kind of like hopeful. You know what I mean? So I thought that was kind of like the perfect ending. I just, and it seems like most people really, really liked the ending because you know how some people get with series and they're just kind of like, oh, well, I wish it would have ended like this or blah, blah, blah. But
okay. So that's on, so that's on Netflix.
Yes,
it's
it
free.
Is.
Okay.
And like I said, it's, if you haven't seen it, it's German. It's weird because it was first recommended to me by a friend of mine. And this was when season one just came out. And basically they were like, hey, you like Stranger Things. You probably like this too. And I guess on the surface, it is a little bit like Stranger Things, just in the fact that it's sci-fi and that there's like part of it that's set in the 80s. But other than, I mean, this is like a zillion times more complex and adult themed than Stranger Things. I love Stranger Things, but that is definitely more, it's not kid oriented necessarily, but I mean, it is more kid centric, I guess. And it's a lot simpler storyline to follow. This one is like much more adult, much more layered. This one is just like a big, huge, intricate novel. You know what I mean? With just like zillions of like overlapping timelines and characters and everything like that. And you really have to keep, but I think it really does, if you like that kind of thing, it really does reward, you know, attention to it. And it's kind of one of those things that people are going to get obsessive about. I mean, there's already whole Reddit threads about people talking about this and that and the theoretical physics of, hey, what about this? And what about that? And what about that guy? And all this other kind of stuff. So, I also want to give a shout out to the, Peter Voller, what happened to his eye joke. Okay. So you never do find out what happened to the dude's eye, because this is one thing that I was wondering.
Are you spoiling it?
No, I'm not. No, I told you I was going to spoil it. Yeah. You know, I told you.
All right.
See, everybody wondered that because in the first season, he had clearly like messed up his eye because he had like a bandage around it the whole time. But they never really mention Like, they never really mention it. You know, they didn't, no one brought attention to it. Then in the second season, he had like this eye patch with like a dark glass over it and everything. And there was one of the characters, I think it was Clausen, like asked him what happened to his eye. And Voller says, he's like, you promise you won't tell anybody? And he's like, yeah, I won't tell anybody. And he's like, oh, well, last summer. And then like, you know, Claudia runs in front of their car and they said, so he never finds out. So then at the very, very end of the show, of the end of season three, after the looping worlds have been destroyed, and Peter Voller is sitting there with his wife, Hannah, who is his wife in the origin world. And they asked, they said, oh, your eye looks better. Cause now he doesn't have like the thing on, but he just has a scratch on there. And they said, and they're like, you never did tell us how you did that. And he's like, oh, well, you know, last summer, blah, blah, blah. And then the power goes out. So you never find out what happened to his eye. Now, what I read, I don't know if this is true or not, but I read that the actor that they cast to be in it shortly before filming started, he fucked his eye all up and had to wear a thing. And they didn't want to replace him. So they said, well, we'll just write it into the show. But because they didn't, they just thought it would be funnier to like make it a running joke where he would go to tell somebody what happened to his eye and it was really embarrassing, but then something would always happen to prevent him telling you why, like telling you what happened to it. So that's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not. Like, some people do have theories about what happened to his eye, like that Gretchen the dog did it. It's like, I've seen all kinds of different theories, but it's just like kind of fun to think of. But I think they just put it in there as like a running joke. Another thing I kind of wondered about too, and this is, well, probably the last thing I'll bring up, but I did kind of wonder if there was any significance to Alexander Teeterman, because he comes to Vinden later. So he's like from the outside, and you know, there was a whole thing. They just imply it, but they don't really say. He supposedly killed a dude in Marburg, either accidentally or on purpose. He says accidentally, but I'm not really sure. And then what happened?
Oh, nothing. I thought I heard something out there.
Oh, okay. He actually killed somebody and took their identity and then came to Vinden and then, you know, ended up taking over the nuclear power plant. But I don't know if him, like, the crime that he committed outside of the town, if that has relevance, or if it's only relevant because he ended up coming to the town and him getting arrested for the identity theft was what caused Clausen to get the search warrant for the nuclear power plant, which is what caused the dark matter to bust out of the canisters and like cause the start of the apocalypse. So I think that he was just like the catalyst for that, but he had to come from outside of the town, I guess, because he was one of the only, him and Peter Doppler, I guess he was from outside of the town too. But so I don't know if there was any significance to like the murder that he committed, or, you know, the accidental homicide that he committed like outside of the town, other than that's what brought him there because he was running away. So, you know, that was another thing that I would have liked a little bit more about, but I don't know if it was necessarily relevant. It was just something that got him there, and it had to be something illegal because they had to get a search warrant because they thought that he was a murderer. So, you know. All right. So anyway,
what'd you guys like? Hit the like button.
Yeah.
Hit the like button.
Tammy says, I know, I was dying to find out what happened to his eye. I know everybody was. It's like the I think they did put stuff in here that they just thought would be funny and like they, that people would like theorize about. But pretty much mostly everything has like a meaning though. All right. So I guess that'll do it for our,
yeah, been going on for an hour.
We'll wrap up. Yeah. Well, it didn't seem like it. Cause like I said, yeah, I got really, really into this show. So I was just kind of like, and I was like, I wanted somebody else to talk to about it because it's like so complicated. And I was just like, And I was just so in awe of like the writing and how everything fit together. And it just like kind of blew my mind. I probably will watch the whole thing through at some other point in the near future. But anyway, thank you guys for coming by. We will probably do another live stream. Excuse me. We'll probably do another live stream tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Tuesday. Yeah. We'll probably do a Sidetracks, or maybe we'll do a movie review. If we watch something new tonight, we'll see how it goes. But until then, we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.